Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're trying to figure out what's going to go down in Denver on Sunday, so we need a little help. Brandon Cristall, who covers the Broncos, Broncos Insider, joining us live from Denver. And Brandon, it's good to have you back on the show, man. First and foremost, Mike and I spent a lot of time on this defense this week. I don't think Falcon fans realize how good statistically they have been. My question is, why? What are they doing? What's the deal?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. And last year, so much was made about the 70-20 loss to the Dolphins. You're like, oh, this defense isn't very good. But then they had that stretch of five straight games with five takeaways, which is pretty historic. But it's just that Vance Joseph is a lot more comfortable in year two, even though they lose Josie Jewell to the Panthers, who called the defense half the year. Then Alex Singleton took over. Alex goes down in week three in Tampa. They're not missing a beat there with the comfort level of the entire unit kind of understanding what BJ wants. Then there's an aggressiveness and a timeliness to how he's attacking opposing quarterbacks that has been really effective, which is why they're near the top in the league in terms of sacks. I think they're still second at last check in terms of getting to the quarterback. And they've made a couple of personnel moves that have worked out well. I think Justin Simmons moving on from him still hurts, but Brandon Jones has played pretty well. He hasn't intercepted as many passes as Justin often has, including last year, but he has made some plays, especially early in the year, taking the ball away. And P.J. Locke stepped into a starting role. But the biggest move, honestly, is John Franklin Myers, who they got for a song on draft weekend, a mid-round pick, renegotiated a deal for a guy that Jets just couldn't afford to pay and is high on the list of guys that has never made a Pro Bowl but plays like a Pro Bowler. And then Zach Allen on the other side, that's allowed him to really thrive. So they got a little bit better up front. They added Malcolm Roach from the Saints, too, and that's made him really good against the run. And then they've got the best cornerback in football in Pat Surtain Jr. And so you put all that together. And Riley Moss on the other side of PS2 has actually played really well. We haven't seen too many white corners. There's a couple of them now, both from Iowa. And Riley wears the long sleeves. There's a clip out there of the Kelsey talking about him this week on their podcast. And Travis was saying how he wears the white long sleeves. He thinks to cover it up. Jason Kelsey, because he hadn't had a Broncos game yet, wasn't even aware of who Riley Moss is. But I have a feeling that Falcons fans, like so many opposing fans, will know who Riley Moss is by the end of the game Sunday.
That's the thing, Brandon. We don't know any of these guys on the defense. And you just mentioned, you know, Allen and Franklin Myers, they got more sacks than the entire Falcons squad. We don't get after the QB. What has Peyton been doing with Bo Nix? Has he been expanding the playbook week to week, or is it still just basic, don't screw it up?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a little bit of both, but that was what the appeal of Bo Nix was for Sean Payton, is that he doesn't turn the ball over. And even in his roughest years at Auburn, I think the most he's ever been intercepted is seven times. He didn't take a lot of sacks. I think some of that's the awareness. Some of it is more athleticism than people give him credit for, but they're not giving up sacks. And so even today, Sean Payton was asked about the O-line, as Pro Football Focus put out, that they've given up the least amount of quarterback pressures. But that anytime you have a team that isn't giving up a lot of sacks, yes, the O-line gets credit, but that's usually because you have a quarterback with high awareness and or mobility and or all of the above. And so as it relates to Bo specifically, you know, I asked Sean on Wednesday, because we measure this every week. It's the nature of what we do in this business. Mm-hmm. How is the team improving, or how is a certain player, specifically a rookie QB, performing week to week? And Bo isn't lighting the world on fire. They didn't score a touchdown in the second half. He had two really good drives in the first half against the Chiefs on Sunday. But when it mattered late in the game, he was able to drive them down the field and on third down hit Cortland Sutton to extend the drive and run the clock all the way down so they could take that last second kick. So we are really having to grade him week to week. So I asked Sean, because he's never really had a rookie quarterback play for him like this, certainly a rookie first rounder, if he's enjoying the kind of week to week progress report. That, of course, he has totally different metrics than maybe fans do, but just kind of that. And he said he really is just enjoying getting to know Bo off the field and coaching him and everything that goes into that. But Bo's progress has been incremental. Nonetheless, he's made significant strides, or was already ahead of the curve, perhaps, in ball security and pocket awareness, that even in the NFL, where we know defenses are way better than he saw in the SEC or the Pac-12, for as good as those leagues are at times, he's passed those tests most weeks.
Brandon Cristall joining us here on Dukes and Bell, talking about the Broncos-Falcons game on Sunday. You can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coverage begins around 1 o'clock, noon actually, and then, of course, the kickoff around 4 because they are in Denver. Special teams, concerned? Well, and I know you have a new special teams coach. We're familiar with him, but where are you with your special teams? Because we were concerned about ours after last week.
Well, obviously a concern when not only do you see what should have been a chip shot game winner blocked, but all the footage in recent weeks, going back to the Saints game 3-4 weeks ago, and then the Ravens game, and there were other games in there where Alex Forsythe, who's a backup center, the type that played some with their starting center banged up, jumping to that basically tight end spot on the field goal block, and then the extra tackle playing the wing back spot, if you will, where we've seen usually tight ends in that spot a lot over the years, that he was just getting bull rushed over and over. And so apparently, and Tyler Columbus, who folks may remember from playing there, I heard him breaking this down on the radio, that he went and looked at the Falcons unit, and that there's always going to be one side that looks like they're getting blown up. And so the Falcons have had that a handful of times as well, not just, with a kick that gets blocked, but that there are guys who just get pushed back. And since the operation happens so fast that it's really hard to block from anywhere except up the middle these days. And so even a collapsing side of a line is a problem, but it doesn't truly affect the kick, because the kick's already gone before the O lineman has been knocked back, or several O linemen, or whatever it may be. But I think it's concerning that it has happened for so long. And Mike Westhoff, who technically was not the coordinator, Ben Katwika is, Katwika is the coordinator, but Mike Westhoff will tell you that he basically invented special teams coordinators in the NFL. He's been doing it for nearly 50 years. He steps away this week because of a health issue. Some people say the timing is suspect, but beyond that, and Katwika was quick to point out yesterday that they're top 10 in their special teams categories that matter, and they really are. They've been good in coverage. They've been good in returns. They've been solid kicking the ball. Their punt return is top 10 with the best punt return in the AFC, having another good year in Marvin Mims. And so he's happy with how they perform, but when you blow a game-winning chip shot against the defending champs on the road, there's going to be a microscope. So I don't think there's panic, but I do think people – expect that Alex Forsythe won't still be in that same spot, and they'll at least change some of the personnel around. One, because maybe he's not the right body type for that, or whatever it may be. But the coaches all owned it, said this is on them. Well, okay, that means the loss is on you. Players aren't going to cut you too much slack, but then you're going to have to go and make some sort of adjustment. And so we'll see what that adjustment is. But I don't think there's true panic, because special teams has been so much better in the year and a half that Sean Payton and these guys have been here than what it was in the previous years under other regimes.
It's Brandon Cristal with us, guys. It's BK Denver Sportsman on Twitter. We don't call it X. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Sidebar, Kawika got fired by Raheem Morris when he took over for Dan Quinn in 2020, because our special teams were hot garbage that year, for what it's worth. Hey, what about running the football? You know, we looked at the numbers, as Carl said, we were like blown away by how good Denver looks. Will we be able to establish the run against the Broncos, or is that going to be a long day?
The Broncos run defense has been really, really good. And so establishing the run now, the 1-2 punch that the Falcons have is as good a probably a 1-2 punch as there is, because of what Algier can do on his own. And then obviously with how talented Bijan is. But to say that you're going to come in and just be able to run the ball because you want to, even when there is that desire by a coaching staff and an emphasis on the play calling, you got a Denver kid in Zach Robinson who grew up here, just down the road from where I live now in Littleton. He knows about all the great running backs that have come through here on the offensive side in Mike Shanahan's system, which he's running his version of that. But their run defense is a top 10 defense for a reason, because they're just stingy up front. And I mentioned Franklin Myers and Roach and DJ Jones. I didn't even talk about, but those guys with Zach Allen have just been really stout. And for as good as their pass rushers have been on the edge, these young guys and Jonathan Cooper, who just got paid, and Nick Benito, who's been really good getting to the quarterback, and the rest of those edge guys, they're really solid setting the edge and flying around, and their safeties are making plays in the run game. So if anyone could have success, and look, we certainly saw the Ravens have success kind of across the board that game, just, you know, the Broncos fell off a cliff. But we knew the Chargers were going to run the ball, and they ran it effectively, but they didn't run it necessarily down their throat. And so I think that I like the Falcons' chances to maybe make a little noise. The average that they're giving up is 103, which is seventh best in the league. But I think that if the Falcons came in and ran for 120, depending on how many carries that was, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't know if they're going to be able to run it all over the place because nobody really has, other than, say, the Ravens in Baltimore, which is understandable based on what their attack looks like.
B, what happens Sunday? What's your prognosis here? What's your outlook on this game and how it plays out? We've been saying lower scoring than expected. I don't think it hits the over. Where are you at on this?
I like the Broncos to cover because of when you're dealing with a young team, you can't have, you talk about moral victories. If the Bills play the Chiefs close but don't win on Sunday, there's no moral victories for a team like the Bills that's poised to contend for a Super Bowl. The Ravens in the opening week didn't have a moral victory. The Broncos, that was a moral victory last week, and you can build on that. So after getting punched in the mouth and getting, blown out of Baltimore 41-10, they come back and have the Chiefs beaten, essentially, until that final play. So I think they do bounce back, and we're going to have really good weather. I think we're going to be in the low 60s. Sunny, we know this time of year. I mean, shoot, we've already had snow a couple times last week. We matched the November snow total, just hadn't affected any football games. And it's been really nice weather kind of here all week, low 50s. Today it was 61. So weather won't be a problem. I think the Broncos win this game, but I do think they cover. And I saw where the lines going the other way, down to 1.5. I think the Broncos win this game somewhere in the world of like 20-17.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Under is the play, yeah.
Appreciate you, B. Thank you so much. Brandon Cristall, again, Broncos insider, joining us here on Dukes and Bill. Take care, man.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know if that was as good as Ice Cube, but he's also not as good a golfer as I am, right? Carl, and he can't use his thumbs like I can.